coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, the 22nd day of September 2021. I want to welcome everyone. Thank you so very much for joining me today. I've got a special show, as I kind of indicated yesterday. Didn't know if we could pull this off, but we did. And I had to corral someone and actually take him hostage to bring him here to the studio just to get him to talk with you. Now, actually, I'm kidding around, but the topic matter is extremely serious. Folks, you see what's going on in the world today. You see the really the occultic nature, the demonic nature of things, events taking place. And really, it's steeped in demonic. It's steeped in the satanic, the Great Reset and all this. So what's going on here? Well, I'll tell you what. That kind of brings me to the point where, folks, you know that we've been involved assisting Russ Dizdar and his team, ShatterTheDarkness.net. I'll tell you what, Russ has got a fantastic team that's actually doing the ground fight against the demonic. And components of the Great Reset, components of everything that we're seeing today, whether it's with respect to the military, with respect to this mass invasion by illegals, whether it's respect to, and especially that, or the coup within the government, all of this is related. So is this one big machine working? It is, but there are different components. There's different cogs. There's different, it's a big set of moving parts. And of course, Russ Dizdar is leading the charge against the various moving parts here in this part of the country. Russ Dizdar from ShatterTheDarkness.net is joining me, and I've asked him to join me, and he's taken time out of his busy schedule. We're working the ground game up here. His team, members of his team, are in the studio as well. I want to give them a nod and a thank you, as I want to say thank you to Russ. Folks, go to ShatterTheDarkness.net. That's ShatterTheDarkness.net. If you're watching this on Rumble or Brighteon, you can see it on the screen. If you're listening to this, don't look, because if you're driving, don't look. I don't want you to crash, but go to HagmanReport.com and click on the link to today's program. All the links will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. So here to talk about really what's going on in this part of the country, and I've alluded to this, but I really haven't gotten into any specifics. Here to talk about what we can talk about, or what he can talk about, in terms of the larger investigation, is Russ Dizdar. Russ, thanks for joining me.
Good to see you, man.
I'll tell you what, it's been a wild ride.
Wild ride, a lot of hours, unbelievable. You know, like I call it sometimes the blood in the guts, but that is even a strong enough terminology to describe what we look at sometimes. You mentioned the Great Reset, and see, I see it as this. There's this top tier of everything going on in society, the volatility, the violence, the hatreds, the divisions, and all that. And then you drop down to what we call the deep state, and everybody kind of stops there and says, well, they're coordinating it, they're the globalists, which is true. Many of them are like unwitting, though. Some are witting, very witting. But you got to drop down one more layer. Mm. Scripture's term is mysterium, the mystery of iniquity, Illuminati, the Luciferians, whatever you want to call that system. There's no way to have this volatility. All of this volatility, violence, and everything going on corresponds to what's going on down here. I've been engaging that underworld 40 years or so. So we've seen blood, guts, all that stuff down there. You can go back to the Old Testament, go back to Moloch, go back to the Moabites, go back to Baals, go back to Chemosh, all those places all around Israel, vast human sacrifice, child sacrifice, all the rest of that. Ezekiel 8 is a good model as far as what God gave us there. Today, right here today, we have more practitioners, direct practitioners, wittings, engaging what they would consider Lucifer, because their view is he's the good guy. Mm. You have more of the real blood and guts Ezekiel chapter 8 people as practitioners than ever in collective history. You have more blood rituals than ever in collective history. You have more victims than ever in collective history. And part of it is not just because they got it's not just a entertainment. It's not just, you know, something they need to do for their jollies. It's necessary to summon, create the doorways, and release that dark power to accomplish an agenda. And that agenda beneath here is broader, more organized, wider, more deadly than anything up here.
Okay, so folks, you just heard that, and I can verify that. All right, so let me just say I can verify everything that Russ is saying, only because I've seen what I've seen, which is really kind of a small portion of what you've seen, but especially over the years. But what I've seen is this. You know, every time I try to describe it, Russ, I can't. I don't know how to describe it, except to say it is so demonic. It is so. If you would make a movie out of this, I would think, okay, how do I describe it? Maybe Rosemary's Baby meets The Exorcist meets The Omen. I don't know.
You got to add in Eyes Wide Shut, Conspiracy Theory, you know, Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah,
add those into it all, and that begins to scratch the surface.
And scratch the surface, indeed. Folks, again, Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. You know, we're coming at you, too, today with a plea, because if I can say we, not in the royal sense, but we as in you and I and the team, your team, you got a fine team, by the way, of investigative specialists.
That's right.
If I can just ask, you know, if I can say we as in me joining you, you know, we're asking folks to pray, because right now, for the last several months, you've been, and again, we've been, but you've been involved in an investigation that I have suggested would be on the level of like an Epstein-level event, or what would it, a conspiracy, Epstein-level situation. Yeah. I don't even know how to further describe human trafficking, and this has a lot to do with human trafficking, and well as some of the more gory and satanic stuff. But
yeah, the trafficking side, human trafficking is unbelievable. We have an expert here in the here with us right now too that knows the numbers. We, you know, one thing I say in the SIU unit stuff is we have a little imprint I have on a T-shirt that says one is too many, millions an atrocity. So when you think of, and I've had to counsel kids all the way up to 60-year-old women who still haven't been healed of what occurred when they were younger, all that damage that has been buried, just that alone. When a child is just sexually brutalized with fears and all the conflicts, and they bury all that, and so one child going through that, to know the agony they go through, the fear they go through, the violation physically, spiritually, and every sexually, everything you can think of. One, and this is very important for us, one is just simply too many. Then you drop it down a little, is horrific and is bad and is outraged. And this is where the church has to get outraged. The society has to be outraged. We don't have enough outrage yet.
Right.
We do not have enough outrage, because outrage can move us in the right direction to go get, to say, God, give me everything you have. Give us all that you've got. We'll go out and do everything we can if it's just that one. The problem is, 40-some million in human trafficking worldwide. It tells you that there is some of the most wicked, vile, evil personages, the people that will buy them, the people that will pay to have those kids, the traffickers that run it, they're just commodities. It's just money. The cartels, drugs is not enough for them. Multi-billion-dollar industry is not enough. So now they got to pack 300 human trafficked people into a semi and try to get them across the border, whether they die or not, you know. And it's all about what? Some of it's work. Most of it's just nonstop rape and nonstop sexual stuff. And we need to hear the hard, cold things. And being a pastor and being part of the body of Christ, let me say clearly, the church has failed from the pulpits to declare how vile and evil, to muster the millions of believers. Millions could be mustered. Millions could be outraged. Millions could be moved to mountain-moving prayer and outraged before the throne of God concerning human trafficking alone. That's here. That's in that second layer, in a sense, deep state. But then you go below that, and here's right. what very few really have dug into. Now, I'll give stats, and I'll debate them with anybody anytime. I'm going to tell you right now, as of right now, globally, 150 million, five generations from 72 down to five-year-olds, satanic ritual abuse. So let's just mention what that is. They are selected to be birthed. If you're a satanic ritually abused, if your personality has been split purposely to create subpersons, if they have been used sexually, whatever else, programming, demonization. How do I explain what takes probably, I wrote a book, 600 and some pages, which is an introduction to this, 12 years ago.
And that's still available at your website.
Sure.
Folks, Black Awakening, I would urge everyone to grab a copy. Go to shatterthedarkness.net. You can order it by shatterthedarkness.net.
Sure.
It explains, it gives you it's a factional scenario as mm-hmm. opposed to anything else. But
yeah, it's like, for example, and we'll dig in a little bit to this last night.
Right.
So I'm with one of these individuals that would be first generation. We're not going to reveal names. This is an active live. It's actually multinational case.
Yeah.
It centers itself in Erie and this Northeast Ohio area to the
right.
coast. It would have involved, and I asked the individual, we've spent years engaging, digging. We're back here like never before because God has helped uncover more and more. We're bent on helping and rescue and evacuating a particular victim. Although there's many others.
Right.
And if you go to any city in the United States, people have asked before, well, how many of these kind of victims are here in Cleveland? So I asked a corporal from the police department that recruited me to come in and be their police chaplain because they wanted me to teach on occult crimes in the academy. The corporal was anybody who's ever read about MK Ultra was a real MK Ultra. High complex, multiple, speaking 7 or 8 different languages, extraordinarily capable, planted in that police department by design, targeting me and recruiting me, which we knew that was occurring, but it got me in there. I got to share Jesus in the academy. I did a lot of things in there, but we learned a lot. So that's one individual. I asked him one day, I said, this is back in the early 90s. I'm like, with all that we're engaging, you guys are the first generation, straight from the Nazis, straight from the Germans, straight from Lebensborn, straight from master race. You know, this is important. Himmler wanted, by demonic, you know, agenda and mission, their declaration was they needed 200 million super soldiers, mm-hmm. Nords. They called them the Godmen.
Right.
That's just pure history. That's real.
Yep.
So they initiated Lebensborn and so forth. Well, modern-day satanic ritual abuse, wherever you find it, even if you're finding the fourth-generation 19-year-olds, it all comes from that. There's a biblical, prophetic root to this. What God has already unveiled and said, this is the sequence of satanic evolution. Here's what they're going to do. There is no Antichrist without an army. There is no false prophet. Well, there's no new world order without the largest, most powerful, most supernaturally empowered. They would call them satanic chosen ones,
right?
Altered, if not even in their view. This goes in a lot of deep ways, but in their view, in Hitler and Himmler's view, they were simply believing the occult version of the Aryan. So if they can take a woman, an Aryan, proved to be an Aryan, and a SS soldier, have them selectively, you know, get together and breed and produce. So in 1939, they were producing, some say 400,000, some say 900,000, first generation Lebensborn master race Aryan godmen. They are the fathers and the mothers of first generation satanic ritually abused in Scotland, England, United States, Canada, Australia, every continent on the planet right now.
So, okay, so with that backdrop, was things were things like MK Ultra infused into the programs or developed as programs to hone and to take up that from the past, right?
Yeah, because the Nazis, I mean, they believed in these non-human entities.
Right.
In the Wadelsburg Castle in Wadelsburg, where hit the Himmler Castle.
Where you stood, by the
way. Right. Where they had the Hall of the Dead. Mm-hmm. Well, it's built on Saxton ground, where they said archaeologists found what they would call Neanderthals oblong skulls. Mm-hmm. Nephilim. We have now the site of the ancient Nephilim. This castle's built on this kind of ground, blood, human sacrificial ground. So the demonic realm, there's a satanic synchronicity. As a believer, I believe in God's providence. God leads, God guides. He's working for the good. We got to understand the other side. Biblically, it tells us this, and in reality, it's how it works. Satan has a synchronicity,
right,
operative and working. And we have been told in the body of Christ for years, and I went to a number of schools, and sad to say again, Western subnormal kind of dumbed down biblical, you know, Christianity has lacked in this massive biblical revelation of the satanic. Well, we know that there's a Satan. We can go in scripture, we can talk about, well, maybe we heard about his nature. He's evil, he's a liar. The methods that he uses, maybe we know a little bit about that for our own sake of spiritual warfare. But I'm telling you, I have gone through in 40 some years, and I taught systematic theology, probably 400-500 volumes, and I still buy everyone that I can, old and new.
Yep.
Massively lacking in the systematic, whether you have eschatology, soteriology, bibliology, and you go through the sections, this is what teaches our leaders, you know, pastors and so forth. Where's the section? Where's this big section? There's no fall of the human race without this entity that we're dealing with. There's in Jesus engaging Satan in Matthew 4, coming to the cross, 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy Satan's work. So there's no fall of the human race. There's no sin. There's no, you know, corrupted, broken. There's no death without Satan entering in the beginning. And so that entity in Scripture, we must understand, we must know. God gave us massive intel beyond anything else, anyone else, to say who he is, what is nature, what the methods. But here's what's lacking, the massive agenda. What is his plot and plan? And prophecy shows he makes it so far, all the way to Armageddon.
Right.
Armageddon's his thing. And if you look at Revelation 19:19, I can almost guarantee you, you've never heard a sermon on the troops of Antichrist. Okay, but yet in Revelation 19:19, you have a near future picture of the largest, most empowered, altered, if not altered, supernatural, satanic. And they say they'll make not the Nazi SS look like choir boys. We've met them, we've engaged them, we've even met programmed assassins. You know the whole story of an assassination attempt.
Let me get into all of this. Let me stop you right there. So because this, I mean, okay, so some people close to me know about this, all right? So, but what I've seen, all right, you know, I've often said this. I would much rather rely upon your prayers. I mean, you're a prayer warrior, but prayers rather than, you know, a gun, a 50 caliber gun, because I've seen prayer actually stop Russ Dizdar from ceasing to be. Okay. I mean, I don't want to necessarily speak out of school or make this over dramatic, but, But, look what I witnessed one day. I thought you were going to be, what I saw was something that was beyond disturbing. It was, how do I even describe it? Somebody was going to shoot you. I mean, plain and simple. And really, the hand of God came out and stopped it.
Well, not that I want anybody to watch Eyes Wide Shut, but when you start thinking of these undergrounders, you got to think in terms of really, truly, we all hear about it, but when you finally engage them and you see, you see the depth of the radical evil, it was a murder for hire plot.
Yes, it was.
It was a goal to get rid of. And the information was, because we had friends around, this person already calculated they were going to take everybody else out.
Gee, I wonder who that could have been.
So when that weapon came out that quick and was pointed at my chest, earlier we prayed heavy about this because there was a concern.
Yes.
There's been a couple other things out of federal officer's wife. You know the story about that, an attempted murder, whatever. Well, this was a murder. This is a federal thing now. We know who did this. We know who paid.
Yes.
There's eyewitnesses that saw the thousands of dollars laying on a lap.
Yeah, and so to put this in context, though, and folks, I mean, this is absolutely not made up. There are multiple witnesses to this, and those of you who watch this program kind of know a little bit, nothing with any specificity, but the fact is, Russ and his team are making a difference by fighting this enemy of God in this area. And in fact, I was with him until, after the bars closed last night, time-wise, as well as his team. And, the fight is real. And these are people who are engaged in, who are infused in different areas, all areas of society, whether it's military, police, clergy.
Yeah. They have a big jump on us because it's, if you think in terms of secret projects.
Yeah.
If I think in terms of the mafia or drug lords and their secrecy and their need, I'm saying that on a physical level, this lower level, this bottom line, where all the power and the real agenda is, and will, biblically speaking, will surface in the near future. If you're going to have a new world order, Antichrist, it's all here. Biblically, it demands that it has to be in place before it rises and is unleashed. So, the issue is engaging that, like all prophecy. John the Baptist was born and he lived and then he became the forerunner to Jesus. That was prophesied in the Old Testament. Judas, it was prophesied that would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. The scripture is so infallibly accurate concerning all this. So I can read 1,000 books on the underground, New World Order, all these things, but I can go to scripture and find definitively exactly how future history is going to come out. Well, then, boots on the ground. Then you engage the people. And the biggest thing is, if I'm correct, if I am correct that there's 150 million, five generations down to the 2 year olds, the new ones being born, up to about 75. If they're anywhere between 74 and 50, the guarantee is they are first generation straight from German speaking programmers, handlers, and all that kind of stuff. They're selected birth. They are traumatized, demonized, and we can get into the whole issue of certain old Babylonian rituals to alter DNA. The goal, you got to understand Himmler and Hitler's goal, whether or not anybody wants to believe it, their goal was to create godmen, hybrids.
Yep.
So the rituals in reference to Nimrod and so forth to become Geborim is exactly the rituals they define. The goal was to augment DNA, the moment of conception, which we call in theology traducianism. The moment the sperm enters the egg and the beautiful, instantaneous, the birth of the human spirit, then all of a sudden you have a baby living there. Well, their whole thing is traumatization, demonization for the sake of altering that DNA and that child and changing it from ground zero. And then you got to understand what they've gone through. Nobody has gone through what they've gone through. This is beyond Auschwitz. This is beyond all the rest, which all of it is bad. Human trafficking, all of it. But you're talking them being simply a commodity selected to be purposely born, bred and born so that they could be demonized, that they can have their, by massive trauma, have their solical side, the psuche, the solical personality side, split again and again and again so that they can have an assassin created, a summoner of demons created, one that speaks certain languages, one that can embed in military or be sent in as, so you have all these personalities with specialities, programming, and then just like I want the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness for Jesus, they have power of the demonic given into that programming to accelerate, to enhance them. To remote view. See, you know, here's the, you know, U.S. military bought, you know, U.S. military bought into this.
Yep.
They allowed the Nazis to come. They were told, oh, we've got secrets. We can give you weaponry. We can do all this kind of stuff. Because it's not spiritually discerned. We can look back now and say, man, the dark side was just simply guiding the Nazis to take in technologies, to build this, to open gateways, at the Hall of the Dead, like we were talking.
Yep.
They have those indentions around where the skulls of the generals would be, the dead ones. That was a ritual chamber.
Right.
Willy Goat, he was the sorcerer for Himmler. I stood in the middle of that place where many rituals occurred, blood rituals. That chamber was designed demonically, guided demonically. If you think of the Old Testament, the Spirit of God guiding and giving craftsmanship to the temple.
Right.
They have a counterfeit. There's always a counterfeit. There's a counterfeit to all of it. So that chamber, for years, Hitler stood there. The source, Michael Aquino, the once director of United States intelligence, he stood there doing an ancient, one of the darkest rituals, the Wadelsburg working in Wadelsburg, in Himmler Castle, and he was the director of United States intelligence at one time.
So, okay. A lot of people, and I truly believe a lot of people will find this very difficult to believe, and you know, it's hard to wrap your head around. Folks, I got to tell you, it was hard to wrap my head around. I'm watching this, and in some cases, being you know a little bit of a part of it, but you and your team actually going in and talking with the people who are the products of this fracturing. Mm-hmm. And one thing I'll say. Hopefully I'm not giving away any secrets. I don't think so. I'm not. To see a person actually sit there, that looks normal. They could be wearing a military uniform or a police uniform, or they could be wearing a waitress, dress or whatever. It doesn't matter. And to be talking normally and then to switch personalities and all of a sudden begin speaking fluent German, or all of a sudden, having a history and a presence with advanced weaponry, when in fact the actual person, would say, if you ask the actual person, do you know German? Oh, of course not. No, I don't. This is how deep this goes. I mean, I'm not even sure I did justice to that. But
well, in all of the, that's where again it takes a lot of time, and I do that in the book, and it's important to understand, because if you're going to work with the victims, you know, we have in the United States since the late 70s, mainly the 80s, then 90s. By the time we come to the 90s, secular psychology was acknowledging 10 million cases of multiple personality disorder. They now call DID,
right.
Dissociative Identity Disorder. That's the secular world. Every psych ward, I mean, you got years and years and years, and the insurance industry knows, well, and now the DSM-3, DSM-4, DSM-5, those diagnostic manuals, it's all in there. It's all there.
Yep.
As far as that side of it, the difficulty is, even though they can acknowledge separate personalities, little ones abused and so forth, the secular world hasn't been able to engage highly trained or demonized ones, or even the demonic that's there. They don't have the tools for that part of it. So they keep them for so long. You know, you get certain therapies, they're sent out. So I've ended up, whether it's been a weekend, sometimes it's just a weekend dealing with a certain SRA, or years. So over close to 400.
Wow.
Out of millions though.
out of millions.
Yeah, and so I asked the question, man, these, first of all, we're dealing with them, they're coming in, we're dealing with them left and right, you know, we understood the demons and deliverance, we understood that. The body of Christ should know that. We're the frontliners for that. We should all be trained for that. But what we didn't understand was what's this other, all these personality, you know, and the ministry of Jesus saying he came to bring the gospel and to heal the brokenhearted. Anybody can look up the Greek word. Broken, yep. From the Greek means broken, smashed into pieces, yep. To make into pieces. God is way ahead of all this. In Jesus is the healing for the broken heart, those who've been broken. So every SRA, whether that soul local side, that person has been stripped off this way, this way, this way, this way, used, abused, they're only commodities to the handlers. They're all going to be discarded in the end. Satan's not going to shed a tear when millions of them die in Armageddon in the future here.
Right.
You got to understand in all this work, how do we go into talking about in the last number? I can talk about years ago. I can even mention years ago, child human sacrifice, where the goal is to torture it and create as much pain and keep the pain going as long as possible, along with sexual abuse, so they can raise the energies. It's all about because the demons, more demons will come.
Right.
The demons are the, you got to understand how vile there's no change there. They don't shed a tear. They love it. They love just to be in the pain. They love the torture. They love it being a child because it's a blasphemy to God. It's a way of striking against God. It is such, God calls it an abomination, Ezekiel 8.
Right.
There is no satanic ritual abuse person in the world. Australia, Russia, Scotland, I've been to Scotland, been to Germany, been to Poland, been to France, Canada. There's not one that hasn't tasted blood, had demons transferred into them, seen all the sexual stuff, heard the cries and the screams, knows the level of torture. They've seen the worst of the worst of the worst. That's why we must grip the reality of this. I mean, there's law enforcement pictures of it we have that yep. we can put on, we can show on television sometime, but nobody's going to want to see that.
That's right.
They're not going to see heads, a pink head.
Right.
They're not going to see a chest that has a pentagram inverted carved into it.
Right.
Or hands cut off from the hands of glory ritual like last night.
You know, okay, so, and I've often said that the blood of the innocent is actually the currency of the globalists. This is what we're
talking
about. I mean, it's children, it's the blood, it's the blood sacrifice. And you might think that this stuff doesn't go on. Oh, yeah, it does.
Yep.
And you've borne witness to the fact that, you've got evidence of the fact that this has gone on and is going on currently. And it's even synchronized internationally, which, I'll just put a period there, I guess. But, folks, here's why we're coming, or here's why I asked Russ to come in, is because he and his team, a fine team, and I'm not going to name them by name just for security reasons, but he and his fine team, you know, we're asking for your support. No, not money, but hey, that's okay too. We're asking for your support for ShatterTheDarkness.net. The prayers are so important because what I've seen, I used to think, well, you know, prayer, okay, that's something extra. No, I'm looking at this now as that's really what we need now to break this wide open with what we're this Epstein level in my puny mind trying to describe this at that level of what Russ is working on, what, you know, we're assisting with in the little bit that we are. We need your prayers because I believe, Russ, that the more prayers that we have, the better chance that we have of breaking this wide open,
sure.
Exposing it. And at least, you know, I heard you say something the other day. I may not be able to get them all. I can't get them all, but I can get some.
You're right. You know, and it's, you know, see, I mean, when Jesus labored, he got tired, sat down, and he needed a drink. Believers need to understand in ministry, there's labor. Paul talks about it in first, you know, Colossians chapter 1. He's gonna, with all the God's energy, he's gonna labor. So there's labor involved. I watch these guys right here, the best in the world, right here in front of us over here. I watch some of them want to go walk right into the swamps where a body of a woman who gave birth to a new super soldier was wrapped in deer carcass and thrown in the swamp. They wanted to help us find and locate that. So they're willing to go into scummy little swamp, you know, swamps in order to deal. You know why I wanted to? I said to the person that knows exactly where they're at, we need to get her out. Here's how we look at it. That's how Satanists look at it. They just simply took the woman, took the child. Then she's a breeder. She's just discarded, wrapped in deer meat, thrown into a swamp. That's how Satan looks at all this, the dark side. What do I want to do? I want to get her out, pay for a burial place, and put her there.
Right.
There's a little boy. A 3-year-old that we think we might know where he's at. Some of these other ones that we just talked about, they deserve burial. They deserve to be treated in a right way. And we're bent on that side of it too. So yes. The victim is one thing. The aftermath is the other stuff. The thoughts of, you know, what they've done and what I have seen over the years, what we're seeing right now, what we're seeing in Erie, Pennsylvania, in this whole Northeast, you know, area. And it's a tri-state area thing. It's committed. It's big. So I want everybody to know the volatility up here corresponds all this violence and everything up here, even the nation's, you know, dark morality, all that that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, it all corresponds to the increasing numbers of that kind of ritual, the development in the underground, and the summoning and the release of powers. The release of those dark powers into the world that we're living in has direct influence in accelerating perversion, globalist ideology,
yep.
division, chaos, confusion, and bringing collapse.
I heard you talking about the Greek word for chaos and the biblical reference to chaos and such. And I've learned, you know, I was kidding around with Steve Quayle. I said, just listening to you and hanging around with you, I've learned more scripture in the last several months than I have in, you know, my entire life. But you know, if folks were in a fight, or Russ and his team are in a fight, and I have to echo the fact that Best in the World, they're from all over the country, right here with in the studio, and I don't think they've slept. I don't think all these Russ or the guys have slept in the last 24 hours, maybe an hour or two. But you know, I don't even know where to go from here, except, again, we're asking for your prayers. Focus on this area, Erie and surrounding areas. There are people that are engaged in the satanic rituals. That's a real thing. It happens. No one wants to talk about it. There are people being slaughtered. We've got images. I don't even want to get into it, except to say that there's evidence of this happening, and it's not suitable for anything. I was going to say not suitable for polite company, but that's even an understatement. So it's really going on. And by the way, folks, you've got to get his book, The Black Awakening, to really see where this all fits in the scheme of the global reset, the New World Order, even though it's 12 years ago, still relevant today. The Black Awakening. Look on your screen right there. There it is. I've got a copy. I just couldn't get my hands on it. I got actually several copies. Couldn't get my hands on it to show you, but there it is right there on the screen, folks. It's well worth every dime, every cent. And you need the support. You really need the support, Russ Dizdar. And I want to give a shout-out to Steve Quayle, because one of the things I learned is some of the communications involved in this are the glyphs that he's working on. And isn't God wonderful, the fact that Steve all of a sudden gets involved in the glyph project? and you're looking for somebody to translate angelic writing. And he's right there.
Well, it's like in this, you know, kind of like when we came back this direction almost 4 months ago now, or whatever it was, you know, you put out In the Dark of Night.
Yes.
Now, see, what most people don't know, your first book, you got content in there. And when I first read it, it took me 7 hours during the night. I read it and I'm like, does Doug realize these are the people that we're after? These are the people that we're dealing with? These people in the robes, brutalizing little boys? So I'm like, all this content and all the, I said, this is exactly what we've been. So I told you about that first. So then your next book comes out. I sent it off to workers and everybody else as much as I could. And I'm like, how could you write that? I'm like, you write in the dark of night. He's dealing with MK Ultra. You're dealing with, yep. you know, you're dealing as an investigator. But the content, what I think people are going to miss is that's not just story form. Everything in there has roots to absolute reality. And now that's been put out. We come up here to involve you in this. He may not keep us around here forever.
I certainly will.
We've had nights and nights and engagement and unbelievable episodes and demons and personalities and shooters and people, you know, again, all the way up. This is Epstein level, but maybe beyond, because we're going down to that blood and guts yes. level of stuff.
Yeah.
And Doug has mentioned the prayer issue, and here's why. I don't believe you can crack into this. Let me say it boldly, too. The feds and law enforcement in 40 years of trying to engage and help, as hard as it is, you can't. They've not caught every drug dealer and, you know, cartel member. And it's not. I'm not saying that's their fault. I'm just saying when you go after this underground, not only do they have the most sophisticated physical secrecy, and the victims are shut down by programming, by fear, by threat, by punishment, but there's a supernatural wall. Last night's ritual, the Hands of Glory, one of the reasons of summoning the demons and releasing them around them and to acquire the powers, invisibility, cover what they're doing.
Yeah.
They have a wall of supernatural secrecy. We're now dealing with people coming in from the Vatican. They're part of the underworld, part of the whole Antichrist system. They are now from the Vatican showing up here, engaging. Part of the reason is because of what we're messing with them.
And you have them here. Yeah.
So there's a wall of that. We have to have, you know, and pray and ask God and we, you know, with authority, break through that wall. And here's what we can guarantee. You're going to see exposure like never before. You're going to see evidence like never before. You're going to see a network of victims. And I'm going to tell you the greatest need above everything that I can tell you. We need believers who will learn how to be able to sit with the victims, work with them, deal with the demons, you know, expel them, deal with the inner healing, love them, help bring restoration. Isaiah 58, any Christian that can read Isaiah 58, becoming repairer of the broken walls and helping them. If I could put 10,000 people on the ground to say, help these victims, because you got to spend a lot of time with them. And you're going to see blood and guts and pain, and you're going to have to grow, and you're going to have to learn. That still won't be enough.
Mm. Folks, my I don't even want to say my guest, but my good friend sitting next to me, Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, is one of the bravest, finest men I know, along with every member, man and woman of his team out here. He's got the A-team, I believe, of fighting against this globalist satanic agenda. Eric the Tech, how much time do we have here, my brother? Okay, that's good. I want to make sure. Just kind of, because I'm without a program clock, so just kind of give me a heads up when we get down to about five or so. Appreciate that. All right. By the way, Eric the Tech, I want to give him a shout out for being a part of the crew that's really, you know. Russ, I've seen things 35 years as an investigator I've never seen before in my life. I didn't even think could be real, and they are. But you, which you said something, you just said something a moment ago. Folks, when you look at the big scheme of things, the way the world is right now, the fact they're pushing for this great reset, which is, I used to say communism was the end goal of the New World Order or the great reset. No. It's a satanic, Luciferian global.
Ultimately, yeah.
Yeah. So communism is just kind of a way station, a pit stop on the way to the Antichrist. And again, I used to think, okay, Antichrist, that's a little bit, you know, that would turn people off. But no. From what I've seen, I can't even describe what I've seen. And if I could describe what I've seen, you wouldn't want to hear it. So you and your team, members here, some elsewhere, have really made it, are making a difference to the point where the people who are playing offense, and correct me if I'm incorrect on this, the people playing offense, the people who are really killing children, kidnapping, breeding children in order to sell their blood to the elites, Your team has made them switch momentarily or for maybe longer from offense to defense. That's you, right? And that's them. Is that right?
Jesus said the church that he would build, the gates of hell will not prevail, won't be able to withstand the onslaught of the powerhouse church. You know, when we talk about recruiting people, training people, you can't, you have to become the spiritual powerhouse God intended you to be in order to do that, you know, to be on the field like this. It is evangelism. It is, it involves the idea of discipleship, but it's biblical evangelism that includes the healing, which is normative,
right,
the deliverance, which is normative. Western, you know, the subnormal system has kind of bleeded some out and made it too rationalistic and have taken so much of the demonstrative power. Jesus said to the religious leaders one time, you neither know the word of God nor the power of God. Those two have to go together. Word of God and power. In the car, the assassin has said repeatedly, who is now my friend, said, I've never not done my job. That's how they put it. I've always done my job. So I said, why didn't you pull the trigger that night? They said, something came over me and said, don't do this. He said, I never had that happen. We've seen pictures of him with assassin rifles, uniforms,
yep,
weapons,
yep.
Middle East, other places. You've seen.
Yep.
So that was it. It was like God stepped in. That's the hand of God, the power of God. That's the bottom line. That simply is.
Well, and I don't think I've said this publicly, except, well, to Eric publicly, but and your team knows. I mean, again, 35 years, I don't think I've ever come close to I thought I was going to have to shoot someone that night, okay? I really did. I'm thinking that's going to happen. But when I saw what I saw, the hand of God come in, I don't profess to know what happened there except to say God really, his hand came in. And Russ Dizdar is alive because of his faith in God, I believe.
Well,
and your works for God.
I would say prayers of the prayers of the saints.
Yep.
And the Spirit of God's clear. And we've seen this happen before, but this was probably the highest level of it. And it's still on the table right now because you even opened this doorway. this is very important for everybody to know too. In all of this Erie area. Now we've got big case in Boston to come,
yep.
Massive stuff in Ashtabula, numerous places. And I apologize to all the victims, so many that have contacted, we're not even able to get to yet. We've spent hours and hours up here, places, hunting things down. But just like Ezekiel, God guided him to the edge. He was a good prophet, but he didn't know it was down in there.
Uh-huh.
So, then when God said, I showed him, you know, he led him to this hole. Now he said, dig. You do have to dig, investigate.
Right.
You do have to get in there. But the Spirit of God guiding and opening, if it's the Spirit of God leading, he was not only guided to see, he saw the signs and symbols and things and glyphs and all that kind of thing. He saw all of that. But he was guided, and God guided him right to the faces of the perpetrators. Here's what the perpetrators don't know. The reason God did that mass and willed that level of exposure,
yeah,
to let them know he's coming for them. The vengeance of God is a good thing. I would rather God come and lop their heads off for them to take another baby, another little girl, and rip their guts out and cannibalize it. I would rather God do what he does when he sees abomination. So we must pray that God's hand come, the rescue of, the miraculous deliverance, salvation, healing of victims, the ripping open. We must pray boldly and loudly and clearly and fiercely, you know, with a great fierce, you know, commitment to asking God to rip open this underground. And look at Pharaoh in the Old Testament when he stepped out and came after the people of God.
Yep.
Look at Herod. This is New Testament. Herod in the New Testament,
yep,
when he went too far, one singular angel was sent and touched Herod. That's real history. That's real biblical history.
Yep.
But it's also the God that operates here and now. We're seeing that. I can tell you stories about that issue. But I'm going to tell you right now, we are in the face of highly trained mercs, military individuals, highly trained in weaponry, the most highly trained, demonically empowered maguses, wizards, sorcerers, those kind of individuals. And I'm going to say it again for everybody to hear this. You've all heard about the smoke of Satan, things like that. We have here among us, we have certain things that we can identify them straight from the Vatican, from the dark side, the real Luciferian side in the underworld. You've all heard those stories. You can talk about Malachi Martin and hostage to the devil. Now we have those who have served the devil, might have been behind the killing of him and others. You've got some of those people that may have met with the false prophet, if he's alive, and I believe he is. These are the kind of people that are that close that are here in this city.
That's pretty deep. And think about that. Okay, so, and by the way, from what I've seen, I believe that 100%. From what I've heard, from my investigative experience and watching your team and watching you and being a part of this, yeah. So we're that close to wrapping this up. Mm-hmm. When I say wrapping this up, I mean them wrapping mm-hmm. all of this up or attempting to wrap us up before, you know, the God comes and kicks them sure. serious behind.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so, but really, to think about how, so you're, what Malachi Martin did, how can I put this? You're actually you're complimenting and surpassing what he's done or continuing what he's done.
Well, I think he wanted to do more. I think I think that's right. Why they took him out. See, I believe they took him out.
I do too.
You know, the officer Starchy in New York believes, you know, they took him out. Yep. His CIA driver, they all believe that, even his, the yep. secretary. So everybody believes that. And again, he's within the system that, I'm not even saying that level of exorcism was pure biblical, and we need pure biblical, just like Jesus said, just like Jesus did, just like Scripture tells us. That's how easy engaging the demonic realm, and that is now so normative. We did that last night in confronting a demon. I can give descriptions, but commanding. So when you have program parts that are used to the demons, that hears some little peon Christian come and order the demon, stop it, and order them, get out. They were astounded. This is what caused them to yield to Jesus and be healed on the inside.
I was saying the other day, I don't think people realize the power and authority that we have through Jesus.
Yeah.
And we don't, as Christians, we don't use that.
It's like a frontline armament that we have that
right.
we're not wearing. So why send a soldier out naked on the field?
Put on the full.
Go yell and go scream and wave at them. You might scare them. No, we've been given authority, the armor of God. We're to be aware. We have the word of. So all this, we have such superior capacity. Believers are the most supernaturally enhanced people on the planet.
Yep.
If we appropriate, acquire, live it out, and you know, as much as they have, I'm going to tell you right now, the dark side is real. Their powers are real. Their counterfeits are real. Their demons are vicious. We've engaged them in so many different ways, particularly in people fully possessed when they're looking at you through the eyes of a human, and then you order them. And just like in Scripture, they scream. It's like because you have authority, you order. It's like power. It's like God strikes them. They screech on the way out at times. Or we found that sometimes they simply, if they know we're showing up to deal with one of these highly sophisticated chosen ones, the demons will just back away and stay away for a little while we just, you know, deal with the person until we learn. Spirit of God shows this is their strategy. Okay, I command you, come right here. We need to deal with you, and you're going to stop this completely, and you can't come back. We have the ability to order them specifically and tell them. Not us. We didn't acquire this through any works. Jesus said, "I have given to you authority to tread, to tear it up, to overcome, Greek word Nike, with decisive victory, to overcome all the power of the enemy. And then he says, Luke 10:19, and nothing will harm you. So this is a, you know, when we went to all those conferences we've been at, you know, how many times I've asked Christians, how many here know your authority, you've appropriated, you know that authority? So the average was 95% or more did not.
All right. Thank you, Eric. That's
astounding to me.
So we as Christians need to understand our authority. Again, I watching what you and your team do and seeing you act in the authority, you know, we might have armament backup for what you do, but I would gladly certainly trade that in for, I would take over that, the authority that we have in Jesus, because that's the way, you know, that we have to approach this.
Yeah, it is. It's enormous. And again, I'm one that believes that everything you see in the book of Acts, God sent angels to get people out of prison. Does he not do that any longer? Are we now, did Jesus start this whole church thing off very powerful, very explosive, and then turn it into a rationalistic, dry, words-only thing? No. Jesus is the same today. So everything you read in the book of Acts, at least me, everything I read there, God's power, when power came down in Acts 4, so much power of God came, it shook the building. People got raised from the dead.
Right.
People got healed. See, there's a need. There's a need for the modern day Western American church to have a revival. We have a lot of people saying they believe the word, but you can't fully, you know, even claim that if there's no matching demonstrative power of God. The word and the works go together.
That's right.
You have to have them together. So a revival of the conscious power of God, power in healing. We need real, not goofy stuff, real, biblical, just like in the scriptures, total healing. And yet there's miracles that God does. And so I'm telling you that if you want, if any believer, just look up, I'm not going to quote it for you, look it up. Mark 16:20, when the disciples went out everywhere, just doing evangelism, doing what they're supposed to do in the power of God, look what was given. Everything, God will give you everything needed. He'll back you 100% on the field, even if it seems like the bloodthirsty blade of the demonic, that side is at your throats. They are evil. They will kill. They will do things.
Yep.
Cartels do that all the time in Mexico, worshiping the saint of death. So that threat can be real at times. But either we're going to sit back in the rocks, like in David's day. We're going to be the cowards in the rocks while Goliath on the field is chewing up everybody and destroying everybody. And those soldiers are up in the rocks. God didn't speak to them. God didn't do anything up there. God took one individual that said, I'm outraged. In the name of the God of heaven, he ran. He ran towards, you know, Goliath. That, we need 100,000. We need 10 million fierce like that. We need every believer that can run in the presence, power of God, and look what you can take down. Great exploits.
We can all do that with the power of God, and our, not just our belief, but our works. How can people help you? I know you've got so many classes, so many studies on your website, but how can people help you? Shatterthedarkness.net. How can people best help you?
A quick thank you to Steve Quayle for all that he's done. Nobody knows the massive backing and right. stepping in and prayers and God guiding him to help us. Incredible. You, providentially. We're kind of hooked up now, whether he likes it or not. And we're into this, you know, blood and guts, and yet to see the glory of God too. Anybody can go to shatterthedarkness.net. Everything is there.
Right.
Hundreds of hours of training materials. We have this new Book of Acts training when I talk about the power of God.
Yep.
It's all the audios are free. There's about 60 hours or 60 audios up now. There's going to be 120 to 130 hours on that course alone. There's other stuff that you can get, radio daily. It's all on shatterthedarkness.net.
I got to tell you, folks, if you're not there and you're not taking advantage of the material, you're just missing a lot of it. My good friend, my brother, Russ Dizdar, his team, I want to just say, a finer group of people I've never met, never had the opportunity to work with. I want to say thank you. Folks, I support Russ and his team financially. But one more thing, support by way of your prayers. Yeah. Target your prayers in this area, Northwest Pennsylvania, specifically Erie. Over the next 48, 72 hours, specifically and especially, right?
Right.
Because we need that help, and we're fighting the battle. What'd you say? We're out 15 seconds. Well, again, I just want to say thank you, extend my hand, and say God bless you, my friend. And we're going to be working after the show. This show has been taped for 7 o'clock tonight. We're going to put it up early because we need your prayers at that time. It's live, okay? So thank you. Stay tuned for hour number two. Stan Dale coming up. And welcome to hour number two of the Hagman Report on this 22nd day of September 2021. I'm Doug Hagman, your host. And with me here, if it's Tuesday, it's Tuesdays with Stan Dale from standale.com. My good friend and a great friend of the program and a great mind. Some say a beautiful mind. Is that a thing? Yeah, that's a thing, right, Eric? Anyway, Stan Dale from standale.com. And of course, Holly does all of the web work, putting up headlines, and my goodness, she works 24/7, and so does Stan. Stan, how are you today, sir?
Oh, good. And if I could ask Eric, the tech, to turn on my share screen privileges so I can share some stuff with you visually here later
Can we do that? Are we allowed to do that? We're looking into that, seeing if that's going to tinker with our broadcasting software.
Well,
going into it.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I can direct you. Okay.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah. The reason I said, well, never mind. I would not explain it. So Stan, the way the world, I just got to kind of open up by asking you this. Last week we were talking about various things, including earth changes, volcanoes, earthquakes, Cumbre, whatever that is over there. What is that? Cumbre?
Cumbre de Vieja.
Yeah, that thing. Wow. So that kind of woke up a little bit more, right? So there's a lot of things going on, that and other things. And of course, updates on the poisonous jab, as I like to call it, and some other things. So where do you want to start, my friend?
Well, let's start with the earth changes you were talking about. That after we did the show last week, well, things started to happen over at Cumbre de Vieja.
Yeah,
it's the island of La Palma in the Canaries, and it's its own little island there with maybe 10,000 to 20,000 people on it. It's a volcano that's been erupting in modern times since the 1800s, not frequently but periodically. And there was a report written back in 2001 by a couple of journalists or researchers, actually, about the La Palma Island and the eruption potential and what it might do to the east coast of the United States. Now, this thing is thousands of miles away from us. It's over, you know, on the eastern side of the Atlantic. It belongs to Spain, that whole group of the Canary Islands. But the report showed that should this volcano erupt now, there's a strong chance of the soil and the rock that is on the side, the west side of the island, would be dislodged, and it would slide down like icebergs that calve, and it would make a big splash in the ocean on the west side of the island, which would create a tsunami. And back in 2001, the reports were showing maybe 100 to 150 feet tall, hitting the east coast of the United States about 6 or 7 hours after it fell, you know, the dirt and stuff fell into the ocean there. And modern, you know, estimates of it from various people I was getting emails from were showing it as high as 900 feet. And so people were, of course, a bit panicked by all this. And I got emails, phone calls, and that kind of stuff from people saying, you know, should we move off the east coast now? Is this tsunami going to wipe out the east coast? So I said, look, I don't think so, but let me research this. And so over the weekend, I spent many hours digging into data and reports, geological reports on La Palma and the potential for this landslide coming off of the west slopes to create this huge tsunami. Now, you can, let's look at slide, 59. Let's click on the picture in 59.
All right, 59.
Not found. All right, just a second here. Oh, goodness. sad. that's the way. Well, look, I'll fix it up later.
That's all right. I introduced this segment as well as the last segment as the 22nd of September, when in fact I was just reminded by Eric the Tech to know my, you know, be oriented to time, date, and place. And this is actually the 21st, so not the 22nd, so my apologies. So things go sideways. All right.
All right. Well, look at the picture, the little icon picture there at slide 56. And you can see this is showing the slopes on the west side of the La Palma Island there.
59.
And they dive.
I'm sorry. Slide 59, right? Am I mistaken?
56. 56.
5-6. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Upside down 9. It's made like that, you know.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Well, I thought it'd help. Anyway, if you look at that that slide, you'll see that the coastline kind of drops down into a valley just immediately after the edge or the coastline there. And the reason I stress that is when this stuff, or if it did fall off of the island, it would fall off on the left or west side, and it would go down into this valley and then scoot up. And so it would form a back curl in a potential tsunami, which would slow it down. Or maybe stop its formation entirely. Understand that when icebergs calve, and break off, and like we've seen in Alaska, where they just slide down the side of the iceberg and create this big, wave or a tsunami potentially. That's because the ice is on ice and it's lubricated and it's nice and smooth for the slide of the calving ice. In La Palma, this is dirt. Rock, trees with roots down into the surface there, and its drag coefficient, which means its ability to slide easily, is not good. It is a slow process and a hard process to get it to slide off at all. But if you look at slide 53 and click on the picture, you'll see the pattern that the 2001 report generated for the tsunami coming from that bright white spot, which is the La Palma Island in the Canaries, showing how it would strike the United States from Florida all the way up to the northeastern portions of our coast. Now, at that time, we didn't have supercomputers, at least officially anyway, to analyze the flow of water from the La Palma event, should it occur. So the results were done mathematically and a few other things with smaller computer programs, which are not as accurate as we can get now. Now, because of that, in slide 53 down in the text part, it says read current evaluation of tsunami threat. Now, if you click there, you'll get a website called Disaster Pages of Dr. George Pararis Karaganis, obviously a Greek fellow. And in there, you will see a very long argument, a discussion, really, a professional discussion about why this tsunami is not going to occur and potentially why it's not even going to, La Palma's not even going to drop a lot of junk into the ocean to create such a tsunami. One of the things he does make in defense of the guys that did the 2001 report, which were Drs. Ward and Day, is that they didn't have access to these supercomputer simulations of fluid flow and that sort of thing. So he does defend them in that respect. But the likelihood of this happening is so remote, and the likelihood that it would create a tsunami that would even reach the United States is so remote, so tiny, that I want to tell people to calm down. Now, if you do hear a report now or in the future that says Cumbre de Vieja has erupted or an earthquake has caused massive flow of debris and stuff off of the west coast of the island of La Palma, creating a tsunami heading this way, know that it would probably take between 5 and 7 hours for it to actually reach the coast of the United States. Now, if you're wanting to prepare to evacuate for something like that, should it happen in the future, then have your emergency supplies that you would need to put into your car, whatever report and papers or money and things, have that in a special place in your house. So then instead of taking 30, 40 minutes for you to organize yourself and put it into your car before you leave, that you can leave immediately to avoid the rush on the highways to get to higher ground. Florida is going to be problematic.
Yeah, I didn't mean to overtalk you, but, you know, common sense to me says you should have that anyway. Have your stuff all together, you know, in one place and be able just to grab it and go. And no,
yeah,
no,
well,
head,
like
no
for fire in your neighborhood, fire and floods and storms. I mean, you know, people in Florida usually do prepare for hurricanes and things, and it would be the same thing for them. Up the coast, there are, you know, higher grounds than there are in Florida. So people should just look at probably going inland to a higher place for a day or a few hours or whatever, and then return home should it happen. There's just no reason to panic except in Florida. And the island south of there, because there's a highway. One highway runs down the length of it and across the ocean to the other island south. And that would become pretty crowded. So for those guys, they definitely want to get moving quick and get to high ground somewhere. Anyway,
that's a good article.
Sometime in the future.
Right? And thank you. Thank you. I read that, actually pre-showtime. I read that. That's a very interesting, very, very good article there on, what was it, slide 53, the text there, read the evaluation.
Yeah,
that's very, very, very good. So, okay.
Now, behind me, you see live footage that I took over the weekend while I was doing this research at La Palma as it was erupting and the situation was developing. There's an interesting point here about the earthquakes that preceded. There were over 6,000 earthquakes that preceded the eruption. And that's usually an indication of something about to erupt. And so I did get a notification from a fellow who's a friend of a friend, shall we say, in the Department of Defense, that they were concerned about this, possibly creating that tsunami. And they weren't going to announce it, because if it didn't happen, it was going to create more damage in the population than the actual event. That was probably their private opinion. So that's why I decided to go ahead and make this discussion on this, to tell people for now and for the future, should this happen, look at slide 57, click on that picture and bring that up. That's showing the earthquakes that I recorded for the last 15 days over the weekend of La Palma and the earthquakes. Now, what is interesting, in the left part of this slide where it has a picture, and you probably want to put this up, Eric.
There it is.
In the left part of the picture, that gray part of La Palma, that shows a cluster of earthquakes down there that you see on the right part of that slide in red. Those earthquakes are not where the eruption occurred. They're, you know, down the island. What you see at the crater at the top of that picture is, you know, there are no earthquakes showing there. It's down at the bottom. So you say, okay, so these are indicative of an earthquake a volcano about to happen. So why didn't the volcano occur down in that part of the island? Well, fortunately it didn't, because had it occurred there, that would have been the thing that would have released all that debris off the sides and down into the ocean, potentially creating a tsunami that would get to us. The vent, you know, the magma vent coming up under the crust and up into to form the island of La Palma started thousands of years ago at the very south tip and moved up, and then it cooled off after the 1800s, 1900s, they started to cool off and block passage of magma. So why were we getting the earthquakes here? It was because the magma was moving up in the old vent and should have gone straight up through the land, but it got diverted by some of the cooling magma that it formed a passage, and it sent it north up to the island. To the volcano on the island, the massive volcano. But over the years, if you look at the map on the right there, you'll see little craters as eruptions occurred, you know, along the island going up toward the north to where the Cumbre de Vieja massive volcano is. This is a concern to me, because I don't know what blocked the magma there in the south of the island there where all the earthquakes occurred, but it did, and it was showing the stress of this rising magma, which, you know, eventually went underground up to erupt at the top of the island there. So it's a concern that there's a deviation in the path. Should the magma come again and break through, it will actually erupt in a place that we don't want it to. You can see more about the island on slide 55. If you click on that, it's a quick little video I made flying toward the island to show you the topography and the elevation and the offshore, you know, topography there, show you the dent, which might shield us from such an eruption, tsunami, you know, should it happen like that. In slide 52, we have, it's called a displacement map, desplazamiento. Everything is in Spanish over there, so I'll translate where necessary. But these red areas show that the island was rising, you know, up to 10 centimeters. You may not think that's a lot, but when you lift that much dirt, 10 centimeters, there's a lot of force under there. Now, during the observation period over the weekend of this volcano, we found that there was about 0.4% of the energy of Hiroshima's nuclear bomb being formed underneath these two red spots. And the lower red spot is where all the earthquakes occurred, and it was bulging there, but it took a right angle turn and went up to the north to the old volcano rim, which again is a mystery to me. I think it's something to be concerned about that you have those two hot spots and only one of them had the earthquakes, you know, the majority of them. If you look at slide 53, 54, it says XX, but it's right next to 53. I must have missed that. This is a way to show how deep and how far inland the earthquakes were. Now, in the kind of right white panel, it's showing you inland. You can see the blue earthquake dots in the color picture, and then you can look over to the right of it, and those blue ones show you how the earthquakes started way down deep and moved up toward the surface. And in the bottom white panel, you're looking at it along the long axis of the island. You're seeing where these blue dots are, you know, across the length and width of it, sorry. Anyway, they were shallow earthquakes, you know, like from 15 kilometers up to the surface. And again, when they're up at the surface and they're small, like there's a bunch of them, it shows you that the land is stretching like a piece of plexiglass trying to bend and break. You'll see all these microfractures. So we were pretty concerned that the eruption would occur at that place and cause a lot more damage. And during the time I was watching live, which is still playing behind me from the weekend, the Canary officials took military craft, boats and aircraft, and removed or evacuated over 5,000 people to safety from the north of the island where the main old volcano was erupting at that time. So they were able to get people to safety there, which I was wondering about because, you know, it's a little island and it's owned by Spain, but it's a little island group northwest corner of Africa, you know, out in the ocean, too far removed for Spain to directly come and help them. But they did take care of it and they got people to safety. And, you know, we didn't have this tsunami effect, which I think is good. I don't want to overburden you with the time on it, but look at slide 49, again, looking at earthquakes. If you click on the picture, this shows you the Azores and the earthquakes that are happening there in the last 15 days, I think it is. It's active. And if you look at the picture, the map there, it shows you Morocco in the lower right. And just south of that and out into the ocean that you can't see, it's the Canaries where the eruptions were occurring down there, and the earthquakes throughout the Canaries. There were a few other islands that had earthquakes as well, but out to sea. So my concern is that these things, are spreading, you know, the new volcanoes and the new earthquake patterns, especially the number of them, are spreading in various zones on the planet where they've occurred before, but they're now all occurring together. Again, a rather concerning thing because we're starting to see more of this across the planet.
Wow. I'm glad you were watching this and keeping track of this because, it's so we're seeing signs in the earth, obviously.
Yes. Now, let's look at some science things here. Well, maybe we'll go up to the political things here. Slide 58. The Israelis spent months making a several-ton robot with machine gun on it to attack and kill a technician, a scientist over in Iran. If I'll click on the text and look at the article, it says, robot assassin behind the death of Iranian scientist. Now, I'll bet you a dime to a donut that what was happening was that they were taking out an Iranian nuclear scientist who was key to the development of the nuclear weapons for Iran. We know that the pressure is on Israel to stop Iran because they're getting very close to making their own nuclear bomb, and they have the missiles to deliver them to attack northern Israel. Now, you know, and it wasn't like they were making nuclear power there in Iran. They were making nuclear bomb material. They're still doing it. And their publicly avowed use of it is going to be to destroy Jerusalem, Israel. So Israel has no choice. The IDF had to make preemptive strikes, and they're going to continue to do that to protect themselves so that they don't have to, in return, hopefully deflect those missiles with nuclear arms on board and then attack, say, like Damascus with their own nuclear attack. I mean, Israel is not without nuclear weapons and the ability to deliver them accurately. So Israel is trying to maintain peace in the region and defend itself at the same time. In the article, you'll read about it here. Let me just see. According to the report, Israel's Mossad carried out the operation using a special model of the Belgian-made FN Mag 7.62 machine gun attached to an advanced robotics instrument. The high-tech killing machine, composed of approximately 1 ton of equipment, included artificial intelligence and multiple camera eyes, and was smuggled into Iran piece by piece and, you know, obviously reassembled by Mossad operatives there, which is interesting to note. At least, you know, Israel can put its operatives into Iran, whereas the United States is having trouble getting operatives on the ground in Afghanistan to tell whether or not you're going to kill a terrorist or a carload of children. You know, it's Israel can do it, and we can't because we've got a
Mr. Marvel and his minions. You know, every time I think of that, Stan, and just the mere mention of that drone strike that was carried out, you know, and the oops, sorry, that really angers me, you know.
Well, it didn't come quickly, did it? The oops, sorry was a bit delayed.
Yeah, it was. Well, we have to check. We got to check things out. Well, gee, do you think that you would check it out before you off the guy? And this family, you would think, right? I mean, gee.
I know. It's absolutely crazy. This whole administration is not really a duly elected administration, as we've said many times on the show. And their real intent is to destroy the United States, to destroy the constitutional law we have here. And they're doing everything they can to do that. And when they say that, like down at the border there in Texas, we've been sending Haitians back home. Well, 300 individual males, but no family units. And thousands are left here and are assimilating, or invading, it would be a better term, the United States in various ways, in various places. Texas has probably 8,000 of them already loose in there. So when Governor Abbott says, we're going to put a stop to it, we want to give jobs to the Border Patrol for the United States who are being stood down, you know, so they can't do their job. Come work for us. We'll pay for it. We'll give you a salary. Come over here and help Texas at least block our area, you know, build the wall and stop all this nonsense that's coming through Texas.
But you know, no one's asking the question. How did 15,000 or 12 to 15,000, depending on who you ask, Haitians get to the border so adeptly, so quickly, so efficiently? All right.
Across several thousand miles of sea,
right.
No ocean.
Right. They didn't, you know, not on a raft. So how did that happen? Who's asking that question? Go ahead, Holly.
Yeah, Holly said they were flown in. Mm-hmm. Any more information on that? Or?
Well,
they were flown in via the cartels, and then they now owe their life to them. And then they were flown or bussed up when they landed on Central America or Mexican soil up here to the U.S. border. They were taken right to the border, but let out far enough so it shows like they're walking.
Right. And with all the fentanyl and other drugs they're bringing in, they have to distribute those to pay back the cartels.
There's another 25,000 Haitians getting ready to come up through Mexico right now as we speak.
Holy cow.
So this regime has brought in more people than any five states plus the District of Columbia in terms of numbers or since January of 2021.
You know, they get into these communities and, they're loose. They have no jobs. And where are they going to go? They're going to rob, to survive, to get food. And some of the Haitians are, quite well healed. They've got plenty of money with them and they'll probably rent hotels or, houses or whatever as time goes on. But a lot of them, they're just poor. So they're going to have to just run loose and try to figure out how to feed their families. I think they must have been fed a bill of goods back home by the cartels saying, hey, it's a land of opportunity. You're the president of that country of the United States is offering you free entry and eventually citizenships, and you can get all the wonderful things Americans have. It's a cakewalk. And then they get here and find out and they're dropped out and they have to wade across a river and then they have to face the hardships of being confined for a while there with one toilet per 50 people. They're finding out there's a downside to it once they get here. And now then you try to get them back and hey, Haiti doesn't want them. Mexico doesn't want them. South American countries, they don't want them back. So what do we do? We're forced to take them in and put the tax burden, and the crime burden on us who are, born natural citizens of the United States who pay taxes to pay for all this nonsense. It is so past time to do something about this that,
Well, I'm looking here. In addition to the Haitians, some 37,000 37,000 Afghan refugees, have arrived already now in the United States. They have, of course, no jabs, no mandatory jabs, because they're only going to stay here for a while, according to Jen Psaki, okay? The P head is silent there, but so they're not vetted. They're carrying measles. They're carrying tuberculosis and other illnesses or diseases. And yet this country is flying them to different cities all across the United States with preference to those swing states, political swing states, just in case, anyone gets any designs on kicking the voting machines out using real votes. This is their belt and suspenders approach to things. So in addition to the Haitians, we have no southern border, so therefore in actuality we really don't have a country. It's this
at our homepage that Holly did earlier today, that standeo.com. Yep. Exactly what you're saying is covered there in great detail in a number of the articles that she's put up there. I mean, when you say we don't have a country, we don't have a military equipped with the aircraft and the weapons and the troops that we need to defend the United States against, let's say China, Russia, and these invaders, coming across the borders. When are people going to realize that, especially our military, our state governments, really, but the national military control, when are they going to realize that we have to stop the influx and get rid of the fifth columnist, or we're not going to have a country anymore, and the military is not going to have a job because they're going to be lined up and put in a prisoner shot by the invaders coming in. And the invaders are not, coming in with broomsticks and, claw hammers. They're coming in with real weapons. And I'd bet to say that they're going to be some of them from Afghanistan that we left there. They went through Iran and went through other arms dealers into the southern border entrance here. So that we're going to be fighting very sophisticated weapons, with, a shortage of what weapons we need here and equipment, to deal with them. We are in real trouble, and I don't understand why the leaders of the military and civilian organizations and some of the three-letter departments, of the government don't realize that they themselves are going to be killed or imprisoned because of what is happening. They're just letting it happen. I don't understand the logic of that. They're idiots.
I don't I just, there are no words. You hear me stuttering. That's a stutter of not just frustration, but the fact that there's no words to describe this except to say, you know, it's not a bug, it's a feature. This is by design. This is by, you cannot, in my view anyway, Stan, you cannot make a mistake like this or a series of mistakes that end up like this. This has got to be, again, in my view, a distinct design to dilute, balkanize, to disrupt, and to disintegrate the United States. So, and by the way, Holly does a great job. Again, folks, go to standeo.com. That's standeo.com. And make sure you catch all of the headlines. She does a great job of keeping up with that. I don't know when she sleeps, but that's just me. I was up in the middle of the night. In fact, just got back to my office, and I don't know. The headlines changed, like from, I think the last time I checked them was like 11, and then like 4:30, they changed again. So, you know, they were updated. So thank you, Holly, for doing all that. I know you're a busy lady. Appreciate it, though.
She's doing research on it right now as we speak. Hey, listen, Doug, I'm thinking about having a party later on this afternoon so that we can all get together and rearrange the deck chairs.
Yeah, and that's what we'd be doing, wouldn't it? Unless,
at this point,
let me ask you something, because I was thinking about this. At this point in time, do you think that there's any way to fix what's going wrong? And I'm not advocating any violence or anything like that, but I can't see us litigating our way out, voting our way out of this, or I don't see any options here except to fight our way out of this. And by fight, I mean literally fight. Fight the oppressive system, you know, that we're seeing.
There is no way out of it. Look, everything has been done. Even the left-wing fake media outlets are now complaining about the Biden administration. Now, all this is aimed at dividing the country severely. And this is like the communists have done. It's like Soros supports. Go into a country you want and divide and conquer. A simple rule. Now, if we don't, we've said this many times on the show, you and I, if we don't do anything, they're just going to put us into prison camps and collapse the country into a communist state, a dictatorship. And we'll probably die in that, those of us who are thinking patriots. Now, if we do something, you know, military, or like, you know, with force, we're going to cause the government to then treat those of us that are uprising as enemies of the state. They will issue martial law. They will come and shoot and kill as many of us as they can while our side is organizing to fight against that. And at that point, we're going to have probably two administrations, you know, one legal and one interlopers that are there now. Trying to save the country. So if we try to do that, we're going to cause a lot of death and division in the country. If we don't, there's going to be a complete overthrow of the country, and we'll be divided into camps of those that they want to make slaves and those of us that they don't want anymore anyway. We're at a point where there's going to be bloodshed one way or another. And either way we go, it's going to be expected by the chess moves of the Soroses of the world. And they're sitting here kind of rubbing their hands with glee that they're going to take us down. So we're at that point where, you know, prophecy is talking about Babylon going. We're getting closer to that day.
You believe America is Babylon then, right?
I do.
Yeah.
There's just so much evidence to show that it's the modern Babylon spoken. America and Great Britain together. I think the two of them form the shipping and the produce, you know, for the modern Babylon. I mean, we're a country of many waters, many rivers and stuff. There's so many clues. Richard Coombs, former friend of mine, is now dead several years, but he wrote a book called America the Babylon.
Right.
And there have been other books written by authors as well recent times saying America does fit the Babylon profile. And coupled together with what the Hopis told Holly and I, we were invited down there in 96, we're going to have a multifaceted civil war, because once the shooting starts and gangs form, you're going to have religious overtones. You're going to have wealth overtones. You're going to have political overtones. I mean, it's just going to be so many sided that you look at your neighbor and say, are you one of those, category one, two, three, do I shoot you or defend myself or what? It's going to put the cat amongst the pigeons. And while we're in that state, we're very vulnerable to land invasion, sea invasion, and a nuclear attack, which again tells you that you need to get your EMP shields up if you're going to have anything left running, computers, radios, fridges, whatever, after the initial nuclear attacks, when, you know, tribal groups will form, to survive after the attacks by Russia and China and Iran.
Yeah, and folks, I'm a big believer in the EMP shield. Look, I get it, okay? There's going to be some downtime, but when that downtime is over, or if you're on the outside of that downtime, you're going to want your stuff available for communications or information or whatever. So EMPShield.com, use promo code Hagman there. This is a great product. You need one for your vehicle, your car, or your vehicle, your generator, if you have one, your house. So your house, your vehicle, your generator. Hey, if you have a business, that too. There's discounts for multiple purchases or purchase of the multiple product there. But I will say this, that it's a great product and it's a great idea. And I know that Stan and his people are working with portions of state and other governments, portions of the government to harden the systems, and that's a good thing. So, you know, in my head, I'm seeing Stan and his people building these and getting them out and looking at the clock every couple of minutes to say, hey, you know, how many more can we do before something happens? But that's where it is. So if folks, take advantage of this. EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman. Yeah. So it's good stuff.
You know, I don't know what day it will be here, but within a few weeks, we're going to, you're going to hear about us on Fox and on some other reports that are going to be all over the internet. Relating to the need for this, with some former high place government officials, appearing on our behalf.
Okay. I thought maybe you'd show up with your Alamo hat on and, although that would be a good look and a refreshing.
No, it's going to be, you know, more soberly dressed than I was the other day, but, it's people we know in the government and who have been very supportive, and they are pro-Trump. And there are things, you know, opinions behind the scenes that indicate that, you know, there's a growing, you know, common shared belief that we should do like Governor Abbott is doing in Texas and get organized and stop what is happening. I mean, just physically go in and remove the problem.
Yeah, and in case you're wondering what that means, of course, Governor Abbott has put up a wall, if you will, of personnel to repel the invasion that's taking place down in Texas, as well as some other things he's doing. So it's a good thing. It's all good in that respect. So
listen, on a global basis, this affects us because of chip production and various other things we get out of Taiwan and out of South Korea too. The North Koreans, you know, Kim Jong-un, he did missile tests here over the weekend, and South Korea followed that with their own missile tests. So they're doing more than just rattling a saber. They're launching test missiles with nukes on them, you know, still not in the North or South territory, but getting close. Now, we know that China wants to take all of North and South Korea and Taiwan. They're pushing on Taiwan. They're pushing on North Korea to take it over. And this will hit us, you know, in the parts and things that we import severely. And it'll destroy our allies in the China region, so that we're without eyes to see what's happening over there. It'll destroy intelligence gathering and that kind of stuff if they take over South Korea and, you know, the Taiwan facilities. These are things that show us that this chess play is so multifaceted that it's been well thought out by experts in chess moves in the war game. I mean, Russians are, you know, originators of this, I think, the tactical assessments and moves. While I was reading on that story, I saw an article, it's in slide 59, about a U.S. agent from the the Department of Defense. It's a clip you can see there. I think it's about 4 minutes long. It's a news clip from Australia. talking about this U.S. agent that worked at Pine Gap in communications, whatever else, and has now been permitted by the Defense Department to write a book about what goes on inside the Pine Gap up to a point. Now, up to a point, what they talk about, and you'll see it there in that slide 59 picture, is a bunch of radomes, you know, radar things, communications devices that are shielded inside these spherical balls. What they don't discuss is any of the other factors there, like the extremely long-range communications with the Navy using Tesla waves out of a Tesla tower they've got there. I talked to the actual drilling company down there when I was in Australia, and they dug a 25,000-foot well down to the bottom, you know, underneath there. And on the top of it is a, you know, capacity of sphere on a post coming up, which is a Tesla coil, big Tesla coil. And Pine Gap is the one that's the surviving, useful one. They started out in Exmouth on the Northwest Cape in Australia years ago in 66 or 7. They went out there, and you'll see they're still there, the 13 towers of the major Tesla coil broadcast system there on Exmouth, you know, on the peninsula there. So communications is definitely in the mix there. But there's more than communications there, I'm pretty sure, from what I've learned, including things that fly out of the ground there, out of the mountains nearby. The aboriginals I've talked to have talked about the silver ships that come out of it, usually at night sometime, and about the people occupying one of these silver ships landed near one of the walkabout teams from the aborigines, which, you know, they do this walkabout for a period of time for tests and whatever. And at night, one of these things landed coming out of the gap region, and men got out and walked along, but they didn't leave footprints. They found out later that they didn't touch the ground with their feet, and they pointed a stick at a rock and turned it red and melted part of the rock and did something, and then turned around and cut in their flying saucer and went on to do what they were going to do somewhere else in the country. They just disappeared. So I know that there's that kind of research affiliated with the Pine Gap facility. And it is probably the most secret facility we've got, you know, in Australia, without a doubt. Then that's even including the one up near Darwin, which is a landing strip that can be opened up from the desert terrain to make a landing strip that you can see and then close it up. Just a number of things. And Alice Springs, close to there's another airport there that takes in these special anti-gravity airplanes that look like a normal airplane until they stop and descend and land on the tarmac. Anyway, it's all these things are coming to a head, like I've been talking about for many, many years. Yes. And if you go down to slide 39, it talks about my book, The Cosmic Conspiracy. And if you click on the picture, it's talking about something I'll mention in a minute here about what forms some of these strange layered sediments on Mars. But you can click on that, the text, and it'll bring you down the article that I wrote on this about what forms these, like the face on Mars and the pyramids and all that kind of stuff. It's a formation that is, if you click on the picture, you'll see that the inside of a cooled moon or planet forms crystals, and then a vacant space inside, because once you organize the inside of a cooling planet, it makes more efficient use of the space by forming crystalline structures. And when you break a planet like that, which happened on Mars, it was a moon, and it lays out flat across the surface of the planet, you'll see these pyramid formations, which are nothing more than crystals that formed inside the planet or the moon that hit it, you know, as it cooled. And that's part of the explanation for like slide 40, where they're talking about craters and, mountainous formations on Mars that have layers to it. If you click on the picture there, you can see that this structure has layers, like sedimentary layers in it. And you don't get that unless you've got seas depositing it and stuff like that. Unless, now where this was found, it was kind of northeastish of where Cydonia is, where the impact was that I think formed all these pyramidal shapes. In slide 41, if you click on the picture, and it's a big picture, you can zoom it up, you'll see where Cydonia is, the Cydonia site where the face on Mars is. And in this area here around that, to the kind of northeast-ish there in Arabia Terra, the kind of green area there, is where they were finding these strange formations. They couldn't explain why they had, you know, layers. And I believe that these layers could have been from, you know, this fractured moon that collapsed and caused this damage there. And all the red dust and stuff we see on the planet.
So this would address, and thank you for doing this, because to me this makes sense. This would address the face on Mars, or what appears to be the face on Mars, the reason behind it, and really the kind of the history, in a sense, the real history of our solar system. All in kind of like one big explanation, I guess. Okay.
No, that's why I included a PDF of that section, because it's something that you really need to, I can't wave my hands and describe it accurately. You need the pictures, so you can download that PDF and have a look. Or buy the book and have it on your shelf.
That's even better. And folks, Cosmic Conspiracy, remains one of my favorite books in my library. And I want to say that it's well worth the cost, whatever the cost might be, to get your hands on the current copy of Cosmic Conspiracy. And while you're at it, definitely the Dare to Prepare book by Holly Dale as well. That's even more relevant today than when it was written. It's more relevant today than it was yesterday and the day before. So Cosmic Conspiracy by Stan Deo and Dare to Prepare, both essential reading, I believe, for your library, for your reference, and for your knowledge base. So thanks for putting that PDF up there. Yeah, appreciate
that. Alrighty. How much time we got left?
Oh, we got as much time as you want. Let's see. Let me do the math. I can do this. About 15 minutes, 14 minutes.
Okay, good. Did you have to use your toes to calculate that?
I did, and yes, I did. Toes and other digits.
Okay. Now, the ozone layer, if you click at the picture at, or even read the text at slide 46, it tells you about the ozone layer. And, you know, there's another slide 51, the two of them are related, but slide 46 says most atmospheric ozone is concentrated in a layer in the stratosphere about 9 to 18 miles above the Earth's surface. The ozone is a molecule that contains 3 oxygen atoms. And at any given time, ozone molecules are constantly formed and destroyed in the stratosphere. And we're having ultraviolet light come down and cause these chemical activities to occur. If you click on the picture now, you'll see where the ozone layer is concentrated. And you can see the maximum concentration is about 15 miles above the surface, but it goes up above that and below that. And that's above where airplanes usually fly. But you can see there by the illustration of the aircraft. Now, why is this important? Well, in slide 51, if you click on the picture, you'll see that there is an ozone hole, a layer in it, letting the ultraviolet B come through, which is not good. And it's a hole bigger than the whole Antarctic landmass. You can see that the darker part, you know, underneath there's a little outline of Antarctica. And this is a huge hole appearing over the South Pole, in essence. Now, it's formed over there because of the way the Earth's magnetic field works, but it may form in other places, the South Atlantic anomaly, the SS anomaly. The variations in our magnetic field from the plasma movements inside the planet create the circumstance to let these holes form. You don't want to be living underneath one of these ozone holes because it is hazardous to your life and to your plant life and, you know, skin cancers and all that kind of stuff. As I say many times, I've been over underneath an ozone hole formed under or over Australia in the 80s. And when it was there, you could feel the pinpricks through your clothes. And you and I've talked about this on air, Doug, from the ultraviolet penetrating through our clothing even to hit our skin. And it's so bright white that you can hardly see without sunglasses. So it's this hole appearing and the weakness of it is also related to the magnetic field of the Earth and how it helps, form the ionosphere and various other things that are shields for us. If you click on the text, it'll take you over to an article from CNN, of course, they would be jumping on this, about this ozone hole forming over the South Pole. And, of course, they approach the fact that we need to have less CFCs, fluorocarbons and stuff, and cow gas and stuff like that, or this hole's going to be one of many that will hit the planet. They don't seem to address the situation with the magnetic field of the Earth and with the activity of the sun increasing in the ultraviolet range, because they want it to address things that humans are doing. So it forms a need for a global control over human activity, giving them absolute control of populations for this alleged threat from just us and cow gas.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is important to understand. It's not the hairspray and underarm deodorant sprays that are causing this necessarily. It's the magnetism, magnetic field of the Earth, right? So, okay. All right. But again, CNN's telling the whole story. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, the magnetic field of the Earth is weakening rapidly toward its low point to zero and then back up. And this can occur over months or years, but we are, in the last 10 years, have seen a dramatic reduction in the Earth's magnetic field strength, which again creates a shield, like for Star Trek, to protect us in the upper atmosphere from cosmic radiation, gamma radiation, and radiation, very short wavelengths from supernova, explosions. And the sun is not so bad, but those other deep space things are really, harmful to life. But anyway, let's see, where do I want to go here next? I was thinking about, here's a fun thing. Slide 48. Elon Musk, of course, just launched a SpaceX capsule with four civilians on board to show that it could be done. But during the launch, there was a problem with the toilet. And so he's promised to upgrade the toilet before the next launch.
Isn't that always the case?
Well, you're in a weightless condition, there are problems with where the stuff goes when it exits your body. If you click on the picture there, you see a picture of the capsule. And up at the very top is a little kind of glass hemisphere where you go to use the toilet in this particular configuration. And so that you can very calmly sit there and watch the stars around you and the planet below as you do your plop, plop. But something didn't work exactly right. There's a little curtain you pull to give you privacy from the rest of the crew. But as he said, he will definitely upgrade the toilet.
I can't help but think about scene in Christmas Vacation with Randy Quaid out there, dumping the sewage in the sewer from the RV,
Yes, yes.
And talking
doesn't happen that way in space.
No, I wouldn't think so. Yeah, yeah.
No.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Yeah. And now, right next to that, slide 47 is about an ion thruster engine that they're now putting on a craft. It's a xenon plasma thruster. And if you look at the picture, you'll see this ionized ring of gas, which is the picture on the port on the right, which is the actual thruster. When it's operating, you see this blue light around it in the left picture. And that's not, strong enough to take off, from the surface of the Earth, to lift a craft off. But once you're in space, it's enough that the constant thrust of this nuclear-powered electric motor that you can accelerate over months to get to a speed you need to get to, say, Mars or further out even. But it's not good for close-up, quick maneuvering. It's just for the long haul so that, their equations show that you could use something like this. If you were using just a simple thrust reaction rocket, you could get to a near star system in 10, 15 years. Once you got to speed and then started to decelerate. This is not what they would use on a warp drive. They've been making models and theorizing how to warp space to bend it around craft, which would be much more efficient than this, but this is the best they could come up with publicly anyway at the moment. Hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
You know how I've talked about how space is like a fluid, and and the spinning galaxies are like fluid organizing particles into a vortex that flows into the center of it, but never goes anywhere. You know, it's like spinning around and going in toward the center, and they meet each other and they back out and they form waves. And if you look at slide 38, the picture of it, this is about, the article says that they've found a way of a gravitational wave that occurred at the beginning of time, you know, at the Big Bang. And this is showing that there's a wave in space time. That's the way they calculate what they call it. But this is, again, accenting the fluid nature of space and everything in it. Just such a beautiful illustration. It underlines what I've been talking about as far as the spinning gravitational fields around a planet or star or whatever. And if two of these bodies get close together and bang their spinning magnetic fields, the shockwave that they create is a gravitational wave. And the biggest ones to find, the easiest ones to find, are when two black holes collide and are, near collide. They get close enough together that they bounce. And this is what would produce this kind of a gravitational wave pattern. So they say. Yeah.
That's a great graphic, by the way. And folks, go to HagmanReport.com for the link, or just go to Sandeo.com and click on Show Images page. And there you have it. Very, very good. All right. Now we only have about 3 minutes left there, Stan. So.
Okay. Slide 37 addresses something that a lot of us have talked about over the years, about what caused the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, evidence that a cosmic impact, like an asteroid or airburst, destroyed an ancient city in the Jordan Valley. There's evidence of a large cosmic airburst close to the city called Tel El Hammam. And the explosion in the airburst over that area in the southern Jordan region there, it was like the Tunguska event over Russia, roughly a 12 megaton airburst that occurred in 1908. Now this occurred, of course, a couple thousand years ago. And they noticed in the layers of this excavation that we're doing in this old city that they found pottery shards with outer surfaces melted into glass, bubbled mud brick and partially melted building material, all indications of an anomalously high temperature event, much hotter than anything the technology of the time could produce, which gets back to what we are pretty sure happened there. There was either, an object came in and exploded over the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed them tar and, fire and sulfur and that kind of stuff. Or the subterranean gas pockets there erupted, caught fire and erupted, melting, stones and things from the heat of the eruption along there. And there are a lot of gas pockets in that region. That's where we find, all the oil and gas in the Middle East is in these very kind of shallow deposits. I found it interesting that they could actually see the result of something melting them down. And, an airburst would probably do that, but fracturing the gas pockets underneath would probably do it even better, and leave a crater like in the Dead Sea with all the salt and stuff that came out of the eruption, because salt layers cover the gas pockets and the oil in that region. Because, the salt diapirs punch up through these regions, the mountains that rise up in the middle of these fields. And one of those could have been used to create the explosion that did all the sulfur and stuff over the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah.
So it's safe to say that this is a case of science proving the Bible.
Absolutely. You know me. I look for things that do prove the Bible to help those that believe it's just rubbish. There's no history in the Bible to show them the importance of it.
It's also further evidence that God uses these types of events to advance his will, so.
You can say it's a coincidence, but when God has planned the universe and planned the earth from start to stop, everything can be in place, even like for the Exodus, for turning brine ponds into fresh water, how it was done. All these things are laid in place waiting for him to tell his people to utilize, you know, like Moses and throwing the wood into the brine pits to cause the inversion of the salt water and the fresh water to come up. Not a coincidence when he's told to do that. It's been laid in wait for him. And yeah, the whole earth is that way. I mean, the history of earth will be that way.
Stan, thank you so very, very much. You've been thanks for your patience and thanks for everything you've done. Appreciate you. Appreciate EMPShield.com. Appreciate Cosmic Conspiracy and Dare to Prepare. My best to you and Holly. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
Folks, that'll do it for me. Say a prayer. Say a prayer for Russ' team and our actions tonight. Good night.